Amen. Look at verse 43 where the Bible read, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, this particular portion of Scripture is often used to be thrown in the face of people who actually believe the Bible. They'll take this portion of Scripture, they'll twist it out of context, and teach something that is false. Now, in verse 44, the Bible has this phrase, it's a very iconic phrase, even amongst atheists, love your enemies. And people constantly want to say all day long that what the Bible teaches is that we are supposed to love every single person, period. That's a doctrine that's out there. It doesn't really come from, you know, a Baptist church typically, but it does come from the world, and then we see churches embrace this doctrine of love every single person. Well, we're going to explain what this verse means, and we're going to explain what this verse doesn't mean. But the title of my sermon this morning is People That I Hate. People That I Hate. You say, oh man, you're going to preach about hate? Yes, I am. And there are people that I hate. And let's make sure who it is that the Bible says we should hate and who it is that we should not hate. Now, some people, they just get triggered instantly and they think, oh, hate somebody. Because, you know, it's really easy to just get black and white on this issue. That's why people do it. It's really easy to just say we should just hate everyone or just love everyone, but it's uncomfortable to be somewhere in the middle. It's uncomfortable to have people that you love and you hate, and there's all this, you know, misunderstanding of who it is that you should hate and who you'd love, and that just seems difficult and complicated. It's not that difficult. It's not that complicated, and we're going to make it very clear from the Bible this morning. But go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. You know, the Bible uses the word hate 190 times. So if you don't like that word, you're not going to like the Bible. The Bible's going to offend you constantly because it constantly talks about people hating others and even God hating people. You know, it even talks about Christians hating people and hating things. Now look at Proverbs 24, because some people would say this. They would say, well, you know, loving your enemies is a New Testament doctrine. In the Old Testament, it was okay to hate your enemy, but in the New Testament, Jesus came along, and he's just so loving and full of grace and truth. He just loved everybody. You know, I know the Old Testament God just hated people, but I just love everybody. That's false doctrine. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? The Old Testament taught to love your neighbor and to love your enemy, to love both. So it's not a New Testament only doctrine. Let's understand this from the Old Testament. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. That's what the Bible's teaching here. It's saying, look, the guy that lied about you on the job, you shouldn't be excited when he gets fired. You shouldn't be excited that now he's suffering, and now his children are going to suffer because their dad got fired, and you know his wife's going to suffer because of it. You should actually feel bad for the person and not rejoice, not be like, sweet, I knew that guy had it coming to him. And obviously in the flesh, that's what your flesh is saying. Your flesh is like getting really excited. It's jumping up for joy. But we as Christians ought not rejoice when our enemies stumble. Someone that's your personal enemy, someone that did you wrong, someone that's harmed you, we should not hate that person. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I'll just read for you a couple other places. The Bible says in Proverbs 5, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? The Bible teaches that hate is the same as despise or abhor. There's other words that mean the same thing. And I'll read for you from Proverbs 14. The Bible says, the poor is hated even his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. The Bible says, if you despise your neighbor, you're a sin. You're in sin to hate your neighbor, what the Bible teaches. So someone, you know, your neighbor keeps coming over and he's like, hey, man, can I borrow a few bucks? And you're like, sure. And then he comes over the next day. Hey, man, you know, I'm really late on my bills. Can I borrow another few bucks? It's really easy to begin to hate that person. And the Bible is saying, you know what? It's a sin if you hate that person. Now, I'm not saying you have to give them money every single time, but I am saying that it would be a sin to despise that person. And it's easy to despise the poor because they're constantly a drag on other people. They're constantly being dependent upon other people. They're constantly burning people up and using people and doing all these types of things. So it's really easy to despise that person, but we shouldn't despise poor people just because they're poor. Just because they don't have funds or they don't have goods or just because they're more dependent than others. We should still have love in our heart towards the poor person. But here's the question. If you're not supposed to hate your enemy, okay, or even someone that despises you, okay, well, does the Bible ever teach to hate anyone? Well, I had you go into the New Testament because the question is, who am I supposed to hate then? You're telling me there's people that you're allowed to hate or there's people that you hate. Who is it that you hate, Pastor Shelley? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema, Maranatha. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, anathema, let me give you the dictionary definition. It says something or someone that one vehemently dislikes. Now, if you look at the definition of hate, it's someone that you dislike. It means to hate them. Here's your synonyms. Abhor, hate, odious, repugnant, repellent, offensive. He's saying, look, the people that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be an anathema, Maranatha. Let them be cursed of God, is what the Bible's teaching. And here's the thing. When it's using the language love not, it's not saying like just unsaved people, you're lukewarm Christians. It's actually saying the person that is purposely not loving the Lord, meaning what? They hate him. They hate God. And the Bible teaches that those that hate God do not deserve love. Go to in the Old Testament. Let's see the Old Testament teach the same thing. Second Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19 in your Bible. So we're getting it. I'm just going back and forth. New Testament, Old Testament. Look, the Bible teaches the same thing. It doesn't matter. Just let it fall open. It teaches to love your neighbors yourself. It also teaches to love your enemy. And we have people in the Bible that are great examples of this, like King David. King David, in my opinion, is one of the best examples of how to love and to hate at the same time. Because you know what? In chapter number 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, David, he meets this guy named Goliath. And you know what? He does not love Goliath. And Goliath is not David's personal enemy. Goliath didn't go around being like, where's that David guy? You know? He killed my lion and my bear. You know, where's he at? I have a bone to pick with this guy. No, he was defying God. He was defying the armies of Israel. He was defying the Lord Jesus Christ. He was defying Jehovah. He was defying the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was a hater of God. And you know what David did? He slit his head off. He cut his head off. He didn't have any love for that guy. He didn't say, hey, you want to come over? Let's hug it out, buddy. You know, I bet you just been picked on a bunch and, you know, I feel bad for you. Why don't you come here? Let me love on you. That's not what he did. He threw a rock at his head, knocked him out and cut his head off and ran around with it. Hey, here's his head, you know. But, you know, he did have a personal enemy for pretty much the majority of his life, King Saul. And the Bible specifically says that King Saul was David's enemy. But you know what David did? He constantly loved Saul, period. Even though Saul tried to kill him. Have you had your boss try to kill you at work? I don't think very many people probably have it. He's literally throwing a javelin at David, trying to kill him, and David's loving him. Why? Because he's a picture-perfect example of loving your enemy and at the same time hating the enemies of God. Goliath is an enemy of God. King Saul, even though he was, you know, rejected of God and he's not serving the Lord anymore, he's not a hater of God, okay? Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 2. The Bible says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So according to the Bible, Jehoshaphat, he goes and pairs up with King Ahab, who is extremely wicked, who is a very wicked person. and he goes out to go battle with him. And then when he comes back from the battle, the prophet, the man of God, says, why'd you help that guy? Why'd you love the ungodly? Why'd you hate the guy that hates the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee. You know what? God was mad at Jehoshaphat for loving a hater of God, for loving someone that hated the Lord. Guess what? That's Old Testament. Why? Because the Bible's consistent. Now, go if you would to Psalms chapter 26. Psalms 26. So we see in the New Testament, it clearly says, hey, you should hate those that love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them be anathema, maranatha. Not only that, in the Old Testament, should you help those that love that hate the Lord? No. It's consistent throughout. So who is it that we should hate? Well, the Bible tells us more in the Old Testament, describes these people. Look at Psalms 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. You know, this guy hates the congregation of the wicked doers. Isn't that what your Bible, doesn't your Bible say that? He says he hates somebody. Look at verse 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and the right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. So we see this guy has a lot of things that he says in this chapter. And this is important. Look at verse 2. He says, examine me. Prove me. He's like, try my reins and my heart. That's his head, his heart. He says in verse 3, I've walked in thy truth. He says in verse 6, I've washed my hands in innocency. I mean, this guy is saying, I'm trying to have a perfect heart here. But you know what? I hate the congregation of the evildoers. And you say, why? Why does he hate them? Well, the answer is in verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. When you love God, you will hate his enemies. And if you do not hate his enemies, you do not love God. You know how you get great hatred? From great love. The more you love God, the more you hate the enemies of God. The more you hate the haters of God. You know what? The more that you hate lies, the more you love the truth. And the more you love the truth, the more you hate lies. Someone that likes lies, tolerates lying, doesn't really love the truth. They don't enjoy that. And the greater you have of love towards those things that are right and holy and pure and innocent, the more you hate and detest the things that are wicked and evil and supplanting the things that are good. Now go, if you would, in your Bible to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Here's my question. People will say, oh, you're just so hateful. You're not like Jesus. You're not like the Bible. Didn't we just read a story in the Bible where it's telling you he hates people? Don't we just constantly see hate, hate, hate? It's like they just want to rip all these parts out of their Bible and pretend that they don't exist. Now, why don't we just actually understand the whole of Scripture? Why don't we just understand what the Bible's teaching us here and not just get so quick? Why do you think I'm just going to love everybody? I'm going to be safe. I'm never going to hate anybody. You know what you're going to end up doing? Hating God. Hating the truth. Hating children, hating the innocent, hating the victim. Because you know what? There's evil people that exist today. There's people that hate God. And if you decide to be neutral, you know you're really neutral against God. You hating God. It's disgusting. I don't like it. The Bible says in Psalms 31, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. You say, what's someone that regards lying vanities? Well, if you look up in Jonah, the Bible says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What I think the Bible's saying here, especially when you study that other chapter, he's saying, look, I hate people that accept a false way to be saved. The lying vanity. They forsake their own mercy. How do we get mercy? We get mercy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't want that, You're going to cling on to lying vanities. Oh, there is no such thing as God. Oh, it's based on works. Oh, you know, nobody chooses. God has to elect people through the Calvinist God. Ah, I get saved. Yay. Through irresistible grace. Just lying vanities. They forsake their own mercy. You know what? The Bible says, I hate them that regard lying vanities. He does not like those people. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. Now think about this. If it was wrong to hate people, why would God include it in the Bible and say that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost? And say, hey, oh, the Holy Ghost said this through the mouth of mankind, but it's wrong to do. He would have not put it in the Bible, my friend. And here's the thing. At this point, I mean, how much more scripture do I need to show you that it's justified to hate certain people? I mean, it's crystal clear. But here's the problem. When you start applying this doctrine to certain people, all of a sudden everybody freaks out. They're like, oh man, you just hate everyone. You just hate so many people. You're just so full of hate. Well, you know why I'm full of hate towards certain people? Because I love God. Because I love this Bible. I love all of it. I love all the verses that say hate just as much as all the ones that say love. I like all of it. It's great to me. So who do you hate then, Pastor Shelley? Well, let's get real specific, okay? And I believe there's one category. But then we're going to kind of break that category down to a few different people. But the haters of God. I mean, didn't the New Testament say, them that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be an anathema, maranatha? So who would be the haters of God? Well, it's people that reject God, that don't want anything to do with God. We use this word reprobate. Someone that despises Jesus Christ, they can never be saved. The Bible says they're twice dead. What does that mean? Look, their soul's damned. They are damned to hell. It's already been done. Now, I was trying to figure out how many of these people exist in the world. Because people want to say I'm full of hate. Well, let's get a percentage then, okay? Now, I'll be honest. Towards this group of people, I do have perfect hatred. What does that mean? Complete hatred. There's nothing I have but hate for these people. You say, you hate people fully? Yes, there are a group of people. So let me give you my list, all right? Sodomites, false teachers, and the damned. You say, how many people is that in the world? Well, let me give you some statistics, all right? Sodomites. I looked at a 2015 poll for the United States. It was 3.8%. So you look up different statistics, they all have different numbers. I try to look at what seemed like the most unbiased, even though everybody's pretty biased, okay? About 3.8% claim to be, you know, all the way, somewhat, or halfway. I just threw them all in the same category. 3.8% sodomite, all right? Now, that's just the United States. But what about, like, the world perspective, okay? Now, this is very hard. I try to look very, you know, diligently to find world statistics. You really can't find anything very easily. Maybe there's something out there. But I looked at different countries. So in the United Kingdom, all right, you think it was more or less the United States? It was 1.8%. You've been watching too much TV, I think. Australia was 3.4%. So it's even less than America. Canada was 3%. India. Now, India, they say they had about 2.5 million sodomites, which sounds like a lot. But you know what percentage that is? 0.19% of their population. That's pretty low. So these are, you know, this is some pretty big categories. I was thinking of other big countries like China. China's a really hard one to get some good numbers on. The number I have, I don't have a lot of confidence in, but it was like 4.4%. So it's kind of high, all right? But generally speaking, if you look at all the different statistics, there's some that are a little higher, less, more. Israel's pretty high. You know, Germany's kind of high. France is kind of high. You know, and they throw out all kinds of different numbers, but most of them are not legitimate. It's like someone that's very biased at giving those type of polls, so I didn't even include them in my statistics. I would say it's about 4% globally. I'm just trying to be conservative, estimate a little bit higher. Let's just say 4% globally, okay? Now let's take my other two categories, all right? False teachers. Well, I looked up statistics. There's about 5 million churches in the world. That sounds like a lot. There's about 350,000 in the United States. So if we just said, you know, let's just take the United States for an example, okay? Let's say there was 2 pastors per church, approximately, all right? That would still only be like 0.2% of the population. And look, I do not believe that every single pastor of a church that's not ours is a reprobate false prophet, okay? Look, there's a lot of people that are just mixed up. There's plenty of people that are just unsaved. They're confused. They're deceived. They're whatever. But we also know the Bible teaches there's a lot of false teachers and false prophets that are twice dead and reprobate. But we're talking sub 1%. How about the damned? Well, the Bible gives us a few different people in this category. Those that have blasphemed the Holy Ghost, those that have taken the mark of the beast, Bible corruptors, and Judas Iscariots. Again, this is going to be very sub 1% of the population. Nobody's taken the mark of the beast yet that I know of, all right? Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, that is explained in the Bible as seeing Jesus Christ perform a miracle through the Holy Ghost, them literally witnessing someone that's been blind their whole life that they knew, all of a sudden miraculously be saved by God, and they say that was done by the devil. Now, some people say, is that possible today? You know, I'm not going to try it, first of all right? Nor do I want anybody to try it, but I don't know if that's completely possible. Maybe it is for someone to just see the power of God and just completely reject it, and God just, you know, takes them away or whatever, makes them reprobate. But obviously the Bible teaches those that would blaspheme the Holy Ghost, they don't have forgiveness in this life or the next. The Bible also says those that take the mark of the beast, damned. Bible corruptors, those that would add or remove from God's word, they're going to be damned too. And then obviously Judas Iscariot, they're already damned, but they're hard to find. So you say, what percentage of the population, Pastor Shelley, do you hate? Well, I said about 4% for the sodomites. The other ones are so small. Let's just round up to 5%. Let's just get as high as we possibly can. 5% of the population I hate. They say, you're full of hate. That's not that many people. Okay, 5%, all right? And I'm being conservative. I'm trying to go on the high end of these estimates. But I'm just making it plain. You say, Pastor Shelley hates people. Yes, I do. 5% of the population. Now, let's talk about why. Let's understand this a little bit better. Go to Romans chapter 1 in your Bible. It's a good place to go in your Bible. Romans chapter number 1. I can't believe you hate people. Well, the Bible told me to hate people. Why don't you give me your list? Why don't you show me your list from the Bible? Because you know what? I'm just going to use Bible this morning, and I'm going to prove to you why I hate people. Why don't you show me who you hate? Oh, I don't hate anybody. Oh, that means you hate God then. That means you hate God's word. Because I can show you verse after verse after verse that tells you to hate certain people. Where's it at? Oh, love your enemies. Well, that's not what that means, but we'll explain it here in a little bit so you're not confused. But I'm sorry that I actually like all the Bible, not just the parts that the atheists pick out and try to use against us. Because frankly speaking, that's a doctrine of the world. And when you see pastors repeating the doctrines of the world, you have to ask, does that guy have the spirit of truth or the spirit of error? Because he keeps hearing the world, I keep hearing this book. And I like this book. And I like who Jesus is. And I like what he preached. But people don't like it. Now look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This makes me think of those people that, you know what, they forsake their own mercy. They knew the truth. They knew what God offered to them. They didn't like it. They rejected it. They don't want anything to do with it. Look at verse 25. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Does this person love truth? No. They're taking the truth and they're turning it into a lie. They despise the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When you hate truth, you know you really hate Jesus. You know all truth comes from one source, God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get truth. Look at verse 26. For this cause. What cause? The cause they hate the truth. God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. So according to the Bible, when someone hates the truth, they hate God. They don't even want to retain him in their knowledge, okay? How does God respond? Love and mercy? No. Does God punish them? Yes. What does the Bible tell us? It says very clearly, it says, for this cause, in verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affection. So why does someone have vile affections? Because they hated the truth and God punished them with vile affections. You know, it's the worst thing I could imagine being punished with? Vile affections. Being a sodomite. Give me any punishment on this earth. Don't give me that, God. And you know what? The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. You look at this person, you're like, wow, wrath of God on you. That's horrifying. That's horrible. I wouldn't want to touch you with a 10-foot pole. You read all the plagues of Egypt? Give me those. I'll take the frogs. I'll take the boils. Don't give me the sodomy. That is disgusting and reprobate and wicked. And you say, how does someone get that way? They hate God. They reject God. And God says, you know what? I'm going to punish you for that because he's a just God, because he's a holy God, because he's a wrathful God. You know, God is love, but at the same time, he's just. He's full of judgment. And at the same time, he's holy. He can't tolerate that type of wickedness. And once someone's damned themselves, he says, all right, well, I'm going to give you a bunch of wrath on this earth. So not only are you going to go to hell, you're going to have hell on earth. You're going to be a sodomite. You're going to be a reprobate. What is reprobate? Rejected. Look at verse 29. This is how the Bible describes these people. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. You say, hey, the Bible said to hate haters of God. Yeah, seems like it's lining up. Seems like the Bible just matches itself. And people that reject this, they reject what the Bible says. I'm just trying to read the Bible to you and put it together and just actually make sense of things. People that hate this type of preaching, they hate what I'm saying right now. It's because they hate God's word. And they never provide an alternative. They're never like, oh, here's the people you're supposed to hate. And in fact, they do hate people. They hate Adolf Hitler. They hate Donald Trump. They hate Jeffrey Dahmer. They hate me. They hate Jesus. They hate all kinds of people. They just don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit that they hate anything or anybody. Oh, they hate the Muslim. They hate the poor person. They have hatred in their heart. Don't let someone lie to you. Don't tell, oh, I just love everybody. False. You go tell your wife that. I love all women. You'll get divorced real quick, buddy. And if you love your wife, you're not going to like the other women. In comparison, you'll despise the other woman. The whorish woman that comes around, you'll despise her if you love your wife. And if you don't love your wife, you love the whorish woman, you despise and hate your wife. And you know what? If you love the truth, you love this book. You love every chapter. You love Romans 1. I love Romans 1. I think it's great. Look at verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now let's understand this verse, 32, okay? What is it saying? Well, it says in the very first phrase, who knowing the judgment of God. Who is that? Well, if you notice, this is a very long sentence. It starts in verse 28, being filled, or I'm sorry, not in 28, I'm sorry, not in 29, but in 28. So it's saying that the people that were rejected of God, okay, are the same ones that are being filled in verse 29. And they're the same people that are the haters of God in verse 30. And they're the same without understanding in verse 31. And then in verse 32, it's the same people, okay, who knowing the judgment of God. Who are the people that already know the judgment of God? These sodomites. They've seen the truth. They rejected the truth. So then let's look at the next comma. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. What is that comma for? It's explaining what the judgment of God is. It's saying, who knowing the judgment of God. What's the judgment of God? That people that do these things should be put to death. That's what it's clearly saying so far, okay? Now you could take that out because it's just giving you clarification. You don't have to have that part of the sentence to understand the sentence. Not only that, what does it keep saying? Not only do the same. So what is it saying? It's saying sodomites not only do everything on this list, okay, but have pleasure in them that do them. So let's understand that again. So the sodomites not only do everything on this list, but they're pleased when other people do the same things on that list. So it's saying sodomites have pleasure in other sodomites. Not only that, sodomites enjoy murderers. Sodomites enjoy fornicators. Sodomites enjoy despisers of those that are good, the haters of God. Anything that's on this list that someone's doing, sodomites like it. That's why all their movies are filled with it. They're filled with fornication and hating God and just despising their parents and backbiting and lying. Everything on this list is just their movies. You just look, hey, what's this movie about? Oh, it's about unrighteousness and wickedness and covetousness and envy and murder, debate, deceit, malignity. That's just movies today. And you know who makes most of the movies? Sodomite reprobates. I'm shocked. And they have pleasure in that. You know what? They look at another person that's disgusting and horrible and wicked, and they're like, I like this person. You know, they don't like the godly person, the innocent person, and God. They hate God. They hate everything that is righteous. So what does the Bible teach? Am I supposed to love this person? Oh, just give them a hug and tell them how special they are and invite them to, you know, tea and brunch and, you know, let them babysit your children. It's disgusting what the world's trying to tell us that we need to do. The Bible already told us. And you know what? Reality matches everything on this list. Sodomites are implacable. They cannot stop. They will tell you they cannot stop. Everyone will tell you they cannot stop. AIDS.gov will tell you they cannot stop. Sometimes they get to 1,000 partners. The only thing that stops them is a bullet in the head or death. They're so full of wickedness and disgusting reprobate filth. It's just reality. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, this Old Testament. No, this is New Testament. This is Romans chapter 1. It's after all the Gospels. You know that you love so much that Jesus is preaching? Oh, the New Testament never condemned sodomy. Jesus never condemned sodomy. Let's see if that's true. Let's see if the Bible ever condemned sodomy. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them. Oh, my Bible says it did condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You know what my New Testament does? It condemns sodomy. It said, hey, that story in the Old Testament, let's just throw it in the New Testament again, just to remind you that God condemns sodomy. He does not like it. He killed everybody there. Look at verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed from the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vex his soul, righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's the fact they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, what the Bible sees. So the Bible couldn't be clearer. But some people, they don't like this because they just take Matthew 5, oh, love your enemies. You don't understand the Bible, Pastor Shelley. You don't understand what it teaches. We're supposed to love everybody. Where does my Bible say that? It doesn't. Never says that. So they have to reach and grasp for straws, and they just say, oh, here's love everybody. And you know what? I get this all the time. Friends, family members, you know, every kind of YouTube comment, any kind of person out there, we're supposed to love, 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 love. My church teaches love. No hate in this house. You know, I went to Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm just going to the beach, and all these houses have this, like, sign in their front yard. It says, no room for hate. Love only here. It's like, what is happening to our world today? And you know what? They all hate me, and they all hate the message that I'm preaching, and they all hate people that believe like I do, but they won't admit it. They'll be like, I hate you, but I don't hate anyone. I'm like, what? Why don't you die and go to hell? You preaching about people going to hell. You just told me to go to hell. It's like, what? They don't realize that they hate. But let's stay here in 2 Peter. Let's go to our second group of people. So, look, I have nothing but perfect hatred for sodomites. Nothing but perfect hatred. Why? Well, first of all, they can't get saved. So why in the world do I want to be around that person? Why do I want anybody else to be around? The only thing they do is to steal, kill, and destroy. All they do is to try and pervert other people, drag other people down with them, just like the devil. The devil, when he gets kicked out of heaven, he doesn't go quietly. He tries to drag as many angels down with him, doesn't he? Try to drag other stars down. That's what the reprobate's like. He's just like the devil. He's just trying to gather as many other tares with him as possible. Oh, come on with me. It's great. What was the second group? False teachers. Look at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You know, I don't want to be like Jehoshaphat. I don't want to go and buddy up with Ahab. I don't want to love them that hate the Lord. I don't want to despise those that, you know, are good, but those that hate God, that it's super clear, I don't want anything to do with them. And the Bible tells us over and over and over and over and over and over, there's false prophets over here, and false prophets over here, and, you know, Elijah has to kill the 450 false prophets, and the New Testament warns about false prophets, and Jude warns about false prophets, and 1 John warns about false prophets, and Jesus Christ couldn't stop preaching about false prophets. And then you get up and call somebody out, and they're like, why are you calling someone out? It's like, what? Where in the Bible are they not calling people out? What Bible are you reading? My Bible is just constantly warning about false prophets. And they're like, you should be like Jesus. Yeah, amen. I am trying to be like Jesus. He constantly warned against the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the lawyers and all the wicked false teachers everywhere. And the Bible says that they deny the Lord that bought them. You know what that means? They're twice dead. Reprobate. You say, hey, who are the people that you say you hate, Pastor Shelley? Those that hate God. Those that are reprobate, that have no chance of salvation. If someone has even a glimmer of hope for salvation, I don't hate that person. I would never want to despise that person. But the people that are clearly rejected, and the Bible's telling you over and over, why would I love that person? They're already rejected and hated of God. They're already an enemy of God. There's nothing they can do but just hurt other people. Go to Acts chapter 13. Oh, you're going to say that in the New Testament, they actually hated people? Yeah, Paul did. Paul really did hate people. You mean you think certain people are child of the devil? Paul did. Paul called him that. You know what? He did not like people that would pervert the gospel or would stop people from getting saved. Because if you truly love somebody, you want them to get that antidote. You want them to get that cure. You want them to have life. You want them to have health. You don't want them to burn and to die and have an eternal punishment and anguish and sorrow. If you love them, you want them to be saved. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. You say, he's just loving his enemies there. Oh, I'm just going to love you with blindness. That's not love, my friend. Thou child of the devil. He's calling him a reprobate. Yeah, he is. Because he's standing there trying to give this guy the gospel, trying to preach him Jesus Christ, and this guy is constantly trying to pick him off and deceive him and pervert him and damn his soul. And after a few different times, he's just like, you child of the devil, be blind. And he just blinds him physically to represent the fact that he's twice dead spiritually. That guy is a child of the devil. He's damned. He's not coming back. You say, oh, this is the doctrine of Paul. This is Paul's doctrine. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believing, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So who's the doctrine from? It's from Jesus Christ, my friend. Look, this whole book is, in the beginning was the Word. You know, that's why sometimes I get goofed up and I'm reading Genesis and I'm like, Jesus said. Because look, it's all Jesus. He is the Word. There's not any part of this book that's not Jesus Christ. You say, I only like the red letters. Well, you only like part of Jesus. I like all of Jesus, the black letters too. I like all of it because it's all Jesus Christ. It's all the Word of God. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's see if Paul really tolerated these false gospel preachers, the perverters of the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again for all you thick-headed people. Oh, I'm sorry, I added that part, all right? If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know what he said? Let's make sure we understand this verse, all right? What is he saying? There's some people that pervert the gospel. So are they teaching the death, burial, and resurrection? Yes. But you know what? They pervert it. They add to it or remove it. They do something to twist it to make it a lie. They take something that's true, the death, burial, and resurrection, and they pervert it in something that's a lie. They changed the truth of God and turned it into a lie, like Romans chapter number 1. This is why people are confused today. Because they'll say, oh, this guy believes in the death, burial, and resurrection. He must be saved. He must be a Christian. Wrong. Then they add, oh, but if you're not living a good life, are you really saved? Do you really believe? Did God elect you? Did you feel that irresistible piano falling on your head? Got you saved? I didn't. I just believed. I had faith like a child. What the Bible teaches. But what should we do to this person? Oh, love them. Let's give them the gospel. No, let them be accursed, what the Bible says. That's hate, my friend. Hating the people that pervert the gospel. Now, let me say this about false prophets or false teachers, okay? I do not believe that every single person mixed up on the gospel is a reprobate, okay? I've known people that were possibly in some type of ministry or they're doing kind of some service, and they get mixed up on the gospel, or maybe they're just always unsaved. Maybe they just grew up in a bad church, and they're involved in some kind of ministry there, and they're wrong. And then when they get exposed to the truth, they repent and believe on Jesus Christ and get saved. It happens. So I do not think that every single person that's wrong in the gospel in some kind of leadership position is just an unsaved, reprobate, you know, person that we should hate. You know how I approach that? I start trying to give them the gospel. You know, if I run, even a pastor. Look, I went on a flight with a pastor of a bad denomination. And I'm pretty weary of these people. I don't even like talking to them. But he was just really striking it up with me. He's like, he writing a sermon? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm a pastor. And I start asking him just some questions. I usually just ask questions. That's all I do. Just try to see where they're at. For like 20 minutes, this guy makes it manifest he's not saved. He's believing that you can lose your salvation. He thinks that, you know, if you're practicing sin, then you didn't really believe and all this stuff. I was leery of it. I was like, I'll just start giving him some of the gospel. You know, I'll just ask him some questions about some verses. The Bible says you can know you have eternal life. So I show him that verse, and he was like, wow. I didn't notice that verse before. Then I started showing him other verses. Pretty soon, he believes what the Bible says. Now, here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. I asked him, hey, before you said if someone could lose their salvation, I asked you if someone could lose their salvation, you said yes. If someone believes that, are they saved? He said, not saved. And I said, is that what you believe now? He's like, no. And I was like, all right, well, the Bible says to repent ye and believe the gospel. And he was like, well, I already believe that. So obviously the guy didn't want to pray I mean, a pastor of 7 years of a bad church, but you know what? He understood the gospel after that point. I don't think that was a reprobate. He was really interested in it. He acted like he believed it at that point. Maybe he's too prideful to pray with me or something like that, or actually admit that he finally trusted in Christ for his salvation. But here's the thing. I'm not going to just see some other false preacher and just say, he's definitely a reprobate. But here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. The Pope is a reprobate from hell, okay? These guys that are the architects, that are the main leaders, that have been exposed to the truth and have rejected it, they are wicked devils. I have no sympathy for them, okay? But if you go to Africa, a lot of those pastors, they don't even know anything in the Bible, okay? I'm not going to just say they're all reprobates, damned to hell. So we have to give a little bit of, you know, grace there, or at least understand where some people are coming from. Look, if you don't have grace, you would have turned Nicodemus away. Wasn't Nicodemus a Pharisee? Did Jesus Christ go around in Matthew 23? He's ripping on the Pharisees. He's saying they're definitely damned and going to hell. But you know, when Nicodemus comes unto him, he says, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with them. He's coming in a humble attitude. He has respect for the things of God. And Jesus Christ preaches him John 3:16. That's a pretty good verse. You use that when you go soul winning. How about the Apostle Paul? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So you can't just tell me everybody that's mixed up on false religion is a reprobate, okay? We have to be careful. But obviously, Caiaphas is a reprobate, okay? When you see their doctrine manifest unto you, reprobate. But Paul, he was ignorant. And when he started showing the scriptures, he got saved. He believed the gospel. So someone that's in the Baptist faith, that's been exposed to the truth for years and is a pastor, and you, they start telling you how salvation is by being a good person and living a good life, that guy, I have no sympathy for. People that have rarely had any exposure to the truth, or maybe they've been led astray, maybe we can give them some grace there. So we should be a little bit careful just labeling somebody a reprobate or a false, being someone that's damned to hell. Now, I will say this. If someone's teaching clear doctrine that's false, a core doctrine, I will always call them a false teacher or false prophet. And you could even be a saved person, in my opinion, and be a false teacher, okay? You can be mixed up on false doctrine. I'll call you a false teacher. And you know, the righteous man, he'll repent. He'll get it right. He'll get it fixed. And you are a false teacher because you're teaching false doctrine. That's the whole point. But some people, they get mixed up and they think just because you say that, that you're calling them a reprobate. Not every time. Now, the Bible, a lot of times when it says false prophet, reprobate, or false teacher, it's just a reprobate. Okay, that's who it's describing. But we have to be careful exactly who we're describing. Go if you would to Mark chapter number 3. You know, Ray Comfort, reprobate. Billy Graham, reprobate. Ray Comfort is not one who has not been exposed to the truth. He constantly repeats what we believe and says, that's not what I believe. I believe in this. It's not like he doesn't know our arguments. It's not like he hasn't seen the Romans Road. It's not like he hasn't been exposed to the truth. He's just a reprobate. He just hates the gospel. He just hates the truth. He's just a perverter. And he's from Australia, you know, I don't know. You know, Mormons, I don't think that every single Mormon is just a reprobate. Now, they're super hard to get the gospel to, okay? A lot of them probably are. But you know what? I'll try. And if they're not interested, then okay, you know? But I'm not going to just label everybody that's a Mormon is just an unsaved false prophet. Damn to hell. Maybe they're just really deceived. I mean, you grow up in a Mormon home, you're probably going to be Mormon, my friend, okay? It's just reality. So let's expose them to the truth. That's fine. Look at Mark chapter number 3. Let's talk about the damned for a minute. Before I get into, I want to cover a little bit more. Mark chapter 3, the Bible says, verily, in verse 28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. So according to the Bible, someone who blasphemes the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. Now some people might point to this verse and they say, well, then how come you think sodomites are unsavable or unforgivable? You know, you think that's the unforgivable sin. Well, here's the thing. I personally don't believe sodomy is an unforgivable sin. You know what's an unforgivable sin? Not believing in Jesus Christ. And you know why someone is a sodomite? Because they're never going to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason. It's just a consequence to that action. So, in fact, you know, we read about Noah and his son does something to him. I don't know what it was. Some people interpret it just as a visual thing. I think he did something because he says, When he woke from the wine, he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now, did that make Noah a reprobate? People that have been abused, are they reprobates? Look, someone that gets so intoxicated that things happen that they're not even aware of, that does not instantly make them a reprobate. Is that an unforgivable sin? I don't believe so. But here's the thing. A man that desires another man, that guy has already rejected Jesus Christ. He is a reprobate. A woman that's desiring another woman is a reprobate. That's how we understand what the Bible teaches. Oh, it's an unforgivable sin. I don't believe that. That's not what the Bible teaches. Go, if you would, to Jude chapter number 1. The Bible says in Revelation 14, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name is going to be in the lake of fire, okay? The Bible says in Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Look, all the Bible translators, damned to hell. These corruptors. But that's like 50 people. I don't know. That's not that many people, okay? So people that have taken the mark of the beast hasn't happened yet. Bible corruptors hasn't happened. So we're pretty much still stuck on our category of the sodomites and then some elect, you know, these Calvinist elect false prophets, all right? These people that have been just already damned to hell. But here's the last category. Jude chapter 1, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So according to the Bible teaches there's some people, they creep into church. They're not even necessarily a pastor. They're not even necessarily involved in leadership, but they're in there and they're already damned. And their only goal is to destroy the church from within, to pervert other people, to attack other people. The Bible describes them in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, but these are natural beasts made to be taken and destroyed. That does not sound like loving them. Oh, love your enemies. They're supposed to be taken and destroyed is what the Bible says. New Testament. We keep reading the New Testament, my friend. I don't know if you noticed 2 Peter, Jude, Revelation. These are all New Testaments, okay? And you say, why do you hate wicked infiltrators? Because I love church. Because I love you guys. And I hate it when someone comes in here and tries to ruin it for everybody. You know what? These Judases always seem to ruin church for good people. Good people, they get so turned off by some kind of wicked infiltrator that they're like, I don't know if I can come to church anymore. I don't know if I can trust a pastor. I don't know if I can trust the Bible anymore. Like, didn't you trust the Bible to get saved? Keep trusting it. Go to church. Go to a good church. Go to one that's preaching the gospel. Just realize wicked people exist. You know what it doesn't do to me? It doesn't discourage me. It gets me excited. Makes me want to fight a little bit more. Makes me want to rejoice a little bit more. Obviously, I hate that person, but then I love the Bible even more because he told me all about it. And you know what? All those portions of the scripture you read, you're like, that's not going to happen. You're like, wow, that happened. And again and again. Antichrist, who's that? Oh, okay. We get all these antichrists coming out. So go to 2 John chapter 1. Here's some verses I cannot apply if I have this stupid doctrine of love everybody. Ecclesiastes 3:8, a time to love and a time to hate. What do I do with that verse? Oh, I'll just mark that one out. Just no hate. A time of war and a time of peace. The Bible says in Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Now, am I supposed to love everybody? Why would I beware of people? Why would I beware of the dogs and the evil workers? Because there's really evil people and you're not supposed to love them, okay? Beware of them. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. Here's where your love everybody doctrine falls apart quickly. For many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, give him hugs and kisses and write him a note about how special it is. Receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You know what the Bible says? If you just say God bless you to everyone, you're partaking in a lot of evil deeds, my friend. Oh, I know this pastor. He doesn't use the King James Bible and he doesn't go soul winning and he says he's repent of your sins, but just God bless him. Hell no. Anathema, Maranatha. Let him be accursed. No love. How much love do you have for that person? Zero. I hate that person with all my heart. Perfect hatred. Now go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's understand what this chapter actually says. Because sometimes it's good to understand what it doesn't say, but it's better to understand what it does say because then you won't be confused. People don't understand this passage, ergo they input bad ideas. Love everybody. Just love every single person. Love Jeffrey Dahmer and love the sodomite and love the child molester. Look, it's in churches today, they're getting up and telling you, oh, someone bless your child, forgive him and love him and restore him. It's like, kill him. Amen. That's what the congregation should say when a pastor does that. When the pastor's up there, love him and love him. Everyone should be like, kill him. Like one time it's okay for a woman to break silence. I don't know. Just kidding. It's never okay to break God's commandments, all right? But that's a pretty extreme example. Look at verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So the Bible has a few categories of people we're supposed to love. Those that hate us. Those that curse us. Those that are our enemies. So who do I love? You say, Pastor Shelley, you've been preaching about how much you hate people. Who do you love? I love my haters. People that hate me personally, that don't like me personally, I'm supposed to love them. You know what? Muslims that hate me, I'm supposed to love them. Jews that hate me, I'm supposed to love them. Catholics, there's plenty of Catholics, I promise you. You knock on the door, they're real mad at you. Atheists, the fake Christians. All those fake Christians that believe you're supposed to love everybody, they hate my guts and I'm supposed to love them back. It's hard, I'll be honest. Love all these people. I'm supposed to love them and give them the truth and the gospel, okay? Go, if you would, in your Bible to go to John chapter 7. The Bible says in Matthew 10, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. According to the Bible, we're going to be hated of all men because of Jesus Christ's sake. If you really love the truth, if you love Jesus' word, you're going to be hated of everybody, okay? Just get used to it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. According to the Bible, we are never, ever, ever to hate someone that's saved, period. Right. Someone that is saved, I don't care what they do or say or act like, we're supposed to love them. Now, Jesus said why people hate him. Look at John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So why do people hate Jesus Christ? Because he preached against sin. Because he told them that they were sinners. Because he told them what they were doing was wrong. You say, be like Jesus. Okay, how about I preach against sin and people hate me? It happens. Shocked. You know, hey, be like Jesus and love everybody. That's not what it's like. You know, everybody hated Jesus. He was despised of men. He was rejected of men, is what the Bible says. You know what they did to Jesus? They crucified him. I don't know if you remember that part in your Bible. It's kind of prominent. You know why they hated him? Because he went about preaching the truth, healing people, loving people. But he loved them by rebuking them. And this is what people don't get. They think because I might rebuke somebody, they think I hate them. I don't hate them. Go to Leviticus chapter number 19. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. You know, if you rebuke someone that's wise, they'll love you for it. Ecclesiastes 7 says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. You know what? It's good to rebuke people. The Bible encourages it. You know what? And I unequivocally hate all sin. You say, what does that mean? It means that I hate it completely. And it's very clear. All sin is wicked. All sin is evil. You say, but don't you sin? Yes. And Paul even said that. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. So he admitted, hey, I still sin. But you know what? I still hate every single sin. And I hate it when I sin. And I hate it when others sin. And this is where you get that wicked, you know, idea from Gandhi. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Now, there's truth to that. Okay? Don't get me wrong. There is a little bit of truth to that. The Bible teaches, look, when your brother sins, you should hate that sin and still love your brother. You know, when an unsaved person is just ungodly, we should hate their ungodliness and still love the person. But you know what? I don't, like, just hate child molesting. I hate child molesters. I don't just hate sodomy. I hate sodomites, okay? So it falls apart really quickly. Jesus said in Revelation 3, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what Jesus does to people he loves? Rebukes them. You know, people say, you're just full of hate. You're just up there screaming and mad, and you're yelling about stuff. Yeah, because I love you. And I love Jesus Christ, and I love this. And people are going to leave this church because I hate things. It's going to happen. People are going to leave good churches because the pastor hates people or hates certain things. I'm trying to explain to you where I'm coming from. Just this book. You don't hate me, you hate the Bible. You hate Jesus Christ's words if you're going to get mad and disgruntled. Oh, pastor hates things and hates people. Yeah, I'm full of hate for certain people, but you know what? I love all the people that I rebuke because I'm trying to get them to get it right, just like Jesus did. Here's some other sins like that. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. The Bible tells us to abhor that which is evil. Look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy brother. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. I am the Lord. So when Jesus tells us how to love, how does he tell us? Well, don't hate your neighbor so much that you wouldn't rebuke him. If he's in a sin grievous enough to be rebuked, rebuke him. Love him. You say, oh, you rebuke people because you hate them. No. If we rebuke people, it should be coming from a place of love, wanting them to fix it. And look, I don't go around preaching to sodomites because I'm not trying to get them to reform. I don't love them. I'm not going to go tell them, you know, all the bad things that they do. I'm going to say, you're rejected. See you later. Bye. Not interested. But you know what? I'll preach to people that are saved. The Bible says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The Bible says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil, is what the Bible says. We ought to hate sin today. We ought to be excited when someone gets up and preaches about how horrible sin is. And how about how horrible it is to not have lots of children. And how horrible it is not to go to church. And not to read your Bible, and not to go soul winning, and not to love people, and to love the faggots. How horrible that is. You know why? Because you hate children when you do. You encourage them to live and exist and to be amongst us and to keep harming people. I mean, when they catch a child molester that's a sodomite, his average number of victims is 150 plus. How in the world can you be like, oh, that's cool. I just 150 children just damaged for the rest of their lives. It's disgusting. Go to Luke chapter 6. We're almost finished. I wanted to preach something different this evening, so we're not doing a part two, all right? You're getting part two right now. So you're supposed to love those that hate you. And look, plenty of people will hate you if you testify of their wickedness, all right? If you're just a godly person, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, what the Bible says. People are going to hate you, and we should love them enough to go out and give them the gospel. The people that don't go soul winning, hate them. If you never open your mouth with the gospel, you hate people. You hate their soul. You despise them. You abhor them. You want them to suffer. People that go out soul winning actually have love in their hearts. Don't tell me that a soul winner hates because he hates faggots. You know what he does? He loves. And yeah, 5% of the doors, oops, sorry, you know, Brother Ethan and I were knocking doors, and this guy's like, yeah, I'm not interested. I was thrown out of my church for being gay. See ya. Actually, I should ask, that sounds like a great church. Can I get the name of it? Luke chapter 6, look at verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. So the Bible says not only are you supposed to love those that hate you, but them that despitefully use you. What's despitefully being used? It's meaning, hey, they're just taking advantage of you. And people will take advantage of you all day long. Your boss at work will take advantage of you. King Saul took advantage of David. He's like, well, you know, if you want to marry my daughter, go kill 100 Philistines. You know what? David was like, I'll come back with 200. He was still going to be a good worker, no matter what the boss is asking him to do. That's gross, too. I don't want that, all right? My daughter is not going to get that for a dowry, all right? The Bible says to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So you have a bad boss at work, you're supposed to love him. You're still supposed to do everything he says. You have a bad husband, do everything he says. You have bad parents, do everything they say while you're at home. Honor thy father and thy mother, not just the good fathers and mothers. And don't let the child poaching services come around and take kids from their parents. You know what? They're supposed to love those forward parents and be obedient to those forward parents. But we see the Bible gives us a list of some things that are like that. He says in verse 29, and him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So when someone despitefully uses you, hey, can I have your coat? Sure. What about that watch? Sure. You know, just keep helping people, loving people, doing good unto people. That's what we should be like. Now, there, unfortunately, because the laws of our land, there's a 5% remnant of damned people that I'm not going to treat that way. All right? If we had righteous laws, they wouldn't even exist, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. I almost could love everyone, in a sense. It wouldn't be a problem with me just quote-unquote loving everybody. But because we live such an ungodly, wicked, and adulterous generation, we have these people among us, and guess what? I have no love for them. I don't know if you got that already. Look, and church is not welfare. I'm not saying that people just ask for things and you just hand it to them. We should consider the cause of the poor, all right? I'm not going to just give my all the money in my wallet to the derelict on the corner. Oh, it's not for booze. It's for, you know, it's for apple, buddy. It's celery. Even though I hand them an apple, they'll throw in the trash. It's like, I'm not going to give you a dollar. Go to Luke chapter 12. We're two more places I want you to look at. Luke chapter 12. So we're supposed to love them that hate us. We're supposed to love them that despitefully use us. But not only that, we're supposed to love them that persecute us. Now, obviously, the haters of God will be in that category, but we've already covered them. So we're just throwing every other unsaved person out there. The news media, government people, you know, all these people that you would easily want to despise in your heart. Poor people. We're supposed to love them. And people that even persecute you. The Bible says, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You know, it's actually a good thing when people persecute you, when people hate you. If no one hates you and no one persecutes you for being a Christian, sounds like you're not doing it right. Because if you do it right, you don't have to worry. And I'm not looking for trouble. I promise you this. I don't go up there and try to stir the hornet's nest of atheists and reprobates and whatever. I'm not looking for trouble, but it'll find you. And there'll be people that you never even heard of call you up and say all kind of fun things to you. But look at Luke chapter 12. This is where I believe most of persecution actually comes from. Look at verse 51. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against everyone. Oh, I'm sorry. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know where most persecution is going to come from? Your family and your friends. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. But just look at chapter 14, too. What does it mean to be persecuted? To be treated hostile, treated poorly, lied about, gossip behind your back, for people to rail on you. And you know what your family and friends are going to do when you serve God? All of the above. It's going to happen. Now, would to God you have a great family where they all just love you and treat you great and they all go to the same church. But I don't see that very often. And when you have that, you should be extremely grateful. Most people that come to this church or serve God, most of their family is not like them. They're not like-minded. They're going to lie about you. They're going to persecute you. And they're going to try and get you away from the things of God. Why don't you get out of that cult? Why don't you get out of that hate cult? They just hate so many people. It's 5%, okay? It's just 5%, okay? It's not that many, okay? Let's get it right. At least just quote me right for once, you know? Yeah, we do hate a few people. But I'm sure if we asked you and started getting your list out, it would start racking up too, my friend. You just don't realize it. You just didn't try to actually apply the Bible to your life. In fact, I would think that most people probably hate more than 5% if we really added it up. But look at Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26. Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's some pretty harsh language. And the Bible's saying to hate. Now, obviously, the Bible's not teaching to hate your parents. We're supposed to honor thy father and thy mother, okay? But what it's saying is, in comparison, if you had to choose between serving God, being a soul winner, reading your Bible, doing that which is godly and Christian, or having relationship with your father, you should pick your father which is in heaven. You should love him. You should say, I'm not going to let any relationship in my life get in the way of me and God, of me and the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is a picture-perfect example. He didn't even let his relationship with his own son get between him and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would kill my son if that's what I needed to do to serve God. And you know what? That's the type of attitude that we should have is, hey, there's nothing going to stop me from serving God, from loving the Lord Jesus Christ, even if I have to hate certain people, which it's not that hard to hate them, okay? You know what's actually hard to hate? Your father. And that's why Matthew chapter 5 is considered hard preaching. You know, it's really not that hard preaching to preach against child molesters and rape. We just live in such a weird, perverted era that people actually think that that's hard preaching. You know, it's hard preaching to despise your parents because you need to serve God. And that's what Jesus is really saying. You've heard that it's been said, you know, to love thy neighbor as thyself and to hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, to love your enemies. He's raising the bar, okay, of righteousness. He's saying, look, obviously the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, but you know what? It was also teaching us not just to love people that love you, to also love people that hate you. And if you love the people that hate you, you'll go out there and preach them the gospel. You'll give them time, effort, and energy. And if you don't love them, you know what you'll say? I'd rather just go barbecue with my family. I'd rather just go watch the football game. I'd rather go just hang out with them. I'd rather go to Joel Osteen's church with them. And we can sing, we love everybody, as everybody's going to hell in that room. They don't love anybody. And look, people get mad at me. You hate people. Yeah, I do. But I'll tell you exactly why I hate. And I'm super clear about it. I hate the sodomites. I hate those perverters of the gospel. You know what? I hate all the damned because they can't get saved. But I should love every single person that has a chance. So that's why this afternoon, I'm going to go out and preach the gospel to people that hate me, that despise me, that persecute me, that say nothing good about me. They leave a bad review on Yelp. And I'll go out and I'll give them the gospel again. I'll knock on their door again and say, you know what? You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And any man that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema, Maranatha. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for loving us so much, even when we didn't love you, even when we were sinners, for you to come down and be the perfect example of love unto us and to give us the free gift of grace. I pray that we'd be like your son, that we also would go out and just show the love of God to the unthankful, to those that are despiteful, to those that hate us, to those that persecute us, that we would just love people and we would love them with the truth. We would love them with the gospel. We would love them enough to warn them when sin is going to destroy their lives. And I pray that people would have so much love in their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd have so much love in their heart for the unsaved that they would hate those that hate you. They would hate those that hate the gospel. They would hate those that are already damned and just trying to pull other people down with them. They would reject them and have no sympathy or compassion or mercy for them, but actually they would have sympathy and compassion and grace towards the unsaved and try to love them to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.